One of the most beautiful cemeteries in the South, Natchez City Cemetery, stretches across 100 acres on the bluffs high above the Mississippi River. Stunning monuments, aged by time, are etched with names, dates, and memories of those who have passed from this life to what lies beyond. And behind each monument, beneath each gravesite, is a life and a story of the occupant whose life was marked by tragedy and mysteries, love and devotion. This is the story of the Natchez City Cemetery and some of its most fascinating occupants. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight, and I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right.
Welcome to episode 14 of Southern Mysteries. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. This is the second of four episodes in the Mysteries, Myths, and Legends of Natchez, Mississippi series. The Natchez City Cemetery is consistently listed as one of the most popular places to see when you visit Natchez. Now, not everyone considers a cemetery to be a peaceful or comforting place, but once you drive up Cemetery Road and you enter the main gate of Natchez City Cemetery, you may find yourself overcome by the beauty of this place. Keith Eggener is an associate professor of American art and architecture at the University of Missouri. In an interview with The Atlantic, Eggener shared his experience with historic cemeteries, writing, "You leave behind the mercantile world outside the gates and enter into the space where you can meditate, where you can come into contact with spirituality and concentrate. The great rural cemeteries were built at a time when there weren't public parks or art museums or even botanical gardens in American cities. You suddenly had large pieces of ground filled with beautiful sculptures and art." Eggener's words speak to how I've felt every time I've wandered the grounds of Natchez City Cemetery. Elaborate monuments and tombstones include works by gifted marble workers Edwin Lyon and Robert Rawls, and the landscape is stunning. The cemetery has been described as a horticultural delight with roses, camellias, azaleas, and crepe myrtles throughout, along with cedars and live oaks covered in Spanish moss. A beautiful and peaceful place of reflection. That's part of what draws so many people to Natchez City Cemetery. You walk the ground where the dead are at rest, and you find yourself reflecting on your own life. Natchez City Cemetery was officially established in 1822, but burials were taking place several months before. According to Don Estes, a Natchez historian and former director of the cemetery, the city cemetery replaced the graveyard behind St. Mary Basilica that's situated in downtown Natchez. For almost 200 years, residents of Natchez have been laid to rest in the city cemetery. The grounds are home to occupants who were brave and compassionate. That's true of Emma Jean Venn. The inscription on Emma's grave notes that she was born in 1884, and above that date, two Red Crosses. Emma served as a Red Cross worker in France during World War I and was killed in the line of duty in 1918. And there are occupants who inspire us with their devotion. Under a bench, not far from the main entrance, sits a toolbox weathered by time. Next to that bench, the grave of the wife of L.H. Lawrence. Lawrence's wife, Frances, died in 1937 at the age of 58. Following her death, Lawrence would go to work each day and then visit his wife's grave. He always carried his toolbox. He would stand next to her grave to say a prayer. Then he would carefully open the toolbox, remove cleaning supplies, and clean her tombstone as he spoke to the love of his life. From time to time, the ground crew would arrive to work early in the morning to find Lawrence sleeping beside his wife's grave. That's when the grounds crew arranged a bench to be placed near the grave to offer Lawrence a little comfort when he visited. After L.H. Lawrence died in 1960, his toolbox was encased in plastic and placed under the bench, and that's where you'll find it today. Also within the grounds of Natchez City Cemetery are the seemingly odd memorials that only make sense when you know the occupant's wishes, like that of Rufus E. Case. His monument and grave stand out in the cemetery because it's three large tiers. You see, Rufus told family members and friends that he wanted to be buried in his rocking chair facing his home state of Louisiana. As the story goes, his daughter Laura died in 1857 at the age of 7. Rufus didn't expect to bury his daughter, so he made sure his family knew that he wanted to be buried in his rocking chair beside his child. The following year, in 1858, Rufus died, and his wishes were honored. He was placed in his rocking chair, looking out towards his home state of Louisiana, sitting next to the child's grave. But he was above ground. Years later, a three-tier brick structure was built around Mr. Case and his daughter's grave. And just behind the old Jewish section of the cemetery is a grave that's been shrouded in mystery and legend for over a century. There are only three words inscribed on the simple white marker: Louise the Unfortunate. Legend says Louise traveled by steamboat from New Orleans to Natchez in the late 1840s to meet up with her fiancé and settle down. When she arrived, she began asking around about her fiancé. Some say she found him, only to learn he was already married. Others say she learned he had died. Alone, heartbroken, and unable to pay her passage home, Louise took action to try to provide for herself. She worked as a seamstress and other respectable jobs. But Louise fell on hard times. And out of desperation for work, she took a job as a waitress in a bar in the notorious section of Natchez known as Under the Hill. You see, Under the Hill was the city's red light district that was situated on a steep bank near the Mississippi River. It seemed the harder Louise worked, the worse her situation became. Eventually, she became a woman of the night at one of the brothels under the hill. By the spring of 1849, Louise was ill. Legend says a local Presbyterian minister, Reverend Stratton, offered her food and medicine. She accepted his help, but refused to give her full name out of shame of the life she was living as a prostitute. It's said that when she died, the Reverend raised money for her burial in the prominent Natchez City Cemetery, but some say a wealthy plantation owner who had frequently paid for the services Louise offered under the hill was the one who paid for her funeral expenses. All we know for sure is someone cared enough to ensure she was not buried in a pauper's grave. For over a century, there was the mystery of that tombstone. And who was Louise the Unfortunate? We may never know all of the circumstances of her arrival and the years she spent in Natchez, but thanks to the research of the Natchez historian Don Estes, we know her full name. Estes found her death record and learned she was French. Louise the Unfortunate was Louise Leroy. There are countless occupants of Natchez City Cemetery who carried shame and regret with them. Shame over their choices and circumstances in life. But the most difficult of monuments to find in any cemetery are the monuments for the most innocent among us, the children. The Turning Angel Monument is one of the most photographed monuments in Natchez City Cemetery. It's known as the Turning Angel because the artist carved it in such a way to form an optical illusion. Approaching the statue from the right angle makes it appear to turn as you move closer. The Turning Angel is situated overlooking five headstones, each with the same date of death, March 14, 1908. That was the day tragedy struck the Natchez Drug Company. A volunteer firefighter had been called to check on a potential gas leak in the building that was located downtown. When he walked inside, he was holding the only means of light at the time, a candle. And moments later, there was a devastating explosion that destroyed the five-story brick building and claimed the lives of 10 employees and bystanders, including five girls between the ages of 12 to 20 years old. The explosion eventually put the drug company out of business, but the owner of the Natchez Drug Company, John Chambliss, was so devastated that he purchased a lot to bury his employees, and he purchased this angel monument to place at their gravesite so the five girls would always have an angel watching over them. The explosion and loss of these young girls was one of the worst peacetime disasters in Natchez history. One of the most tragic wartime deaths in Natchez took the life of Rosalie Beekman. Rosalie's parents, Fanny and Aaron Beekman, immigrated to America from Bavaria. On September 2nd, 1862, the Civil War was raging on, and the Union gunboat USS Essex bombarded Natchez. Rosalie was 7 years old and with her parents at their business on Silver Street when the bombardment began. The family and others in the area run to flee the bombardment. As she was running, Rosalie was hit and fell to the ground. In the chaos, her father didn't know she had been hurt. He turned to her and yelled for her to get up and run. Young Rosalie simply replied, "I can't, Papa. I'm killed." She died the following day. Rosalie became Natchez's only civilian casualty during the Civil War. One of the most unusual and famous graves at Natchez City Cemetery belongs to a 10-year-old girl named Florence Irene Ford. Florence was the child of Washington Ford and Ellen Wynn Ford. Ellen was born in 1823 to a white mother and a father who was a free man of color. Before the age of 8, she became an orphan. Court records show the executor of her father's will, Peter Lapice, sent Ellen to a boarding school in Pennsylvania where she studied French, English, history, and music. When Ellen was 16, she petitioned the court to have Louis Robitaille appointed as her guardian. Lapice disputed the request, writing that due to the unfortunate circumstances of Ellen's birth, referring to her mixed-race ancestry, she will never have any advantages of society, nor can she hope for happiness in the marriage connection, saying no respectable man would want to marry her due to her mixed race. 1 year later, on June 24th of 1840, Ellen, who was still living in Pennsylvania, married Washington Ford. By 1850, Washington and Ellen Ford had returned to Natchez, and according to the U.S. Census of 1850, Washington was a planter who owned $10,000 in real estate, a sizable amount of property for the time. Their only child, Florence Irene Ford, was born during the Civil War on September 3, 1861. She was described as the light of her father and mother's life. But little Florence had one overwhelming fear, the fear of storms. Whenever a storm would move in, Florence would run to find comfort in the arms of her mother. Her mother would comfort her and hold her until little Florence felt at peace again. By 1871, a new source of fear was taking hold in Natchez. An outbreak of yellow fever overwhelmed the city with 1,200 cases. The outbreak produced at least 99 deaths, including the death of 10-year-old Florence Irene Ford on October 30th, 1871. On November 2nd of 1871, the Natchez Tri-Weekly Democrat printed Florence's obituary, writing, "God gave her and he took her away. The measureless grief of her parents can only be consoled by the reflection that their loss is her eternal gain." Ellen was so struck with grief over the loss of young Florence that she made an unusual request. She requested that Florence's casket be constructed with a glass window at the child's head. The grave was dug to provide an area the same depth of the coffin at the child's head, but this area had steps that would allow Ellen to descend to her daughter's level so she could comfort Florence during storms. To shelter Ellen during storms, hinged metal trap doors were installed over the area. Ellen visited as each storm rolled in, opened the hinged doors, and shut them behind her as she descended the stairs down to her daughter's resting place. She would speak words of comfort to her until the storm passed. She would then ascend the stairs, close the doors, and returned to her home to face her own storm of never-ending grief. By the 1880 census, there was a record of Washington Ford living in Natchez, but no wife was listed in his household. It's not known where Ellen was living at the time. She seemed to disappear from Natchez. On October the 11th of 1887, Washington Ford died of malarial poisoning. The Weekly Democrat of Natchez printed his obituary. It reads, "The older citizens of Natchez are rapidly passing away, and scarce a week rolls around that the painful duty is not devolved upon us of announcing that another of the links of the golden chain that binds the present with the past is lost. Mr. Washington Ford is the last who has wrapped the drapery of his couch about him and lain down to rest. After a long and painful illness, he died in this city yesterday afternoon at the ripe old age of 74 years. He had many friends who will hear with regret of his untimely demise." His obituary listed no living relatives, and no mention of his wife, Ellen. His grave is unmarked, but the name Washington Ford is written on the gate of the Ford family plot where Florence is buried. A few years later, news of Ellen again appeared in Natchez in the form of an obituary in the Weekly Democrat. "We regret to announce the death, which occurred in Philadelphia on November 2nd of 1892, of Mrs. Ellen H. Ford, the widow of the late Washington Ford, at the age of 66 years. Mrs. Ford was a native of this county and resided here for many years before her removal to Philadelphia, where her demise occurred. She left a number of relatives, as well as many friends in Natchez, to mourn her death, and to these we tender our heartiest condolence." In the mid-1950s, a concrete wall was erected at the bottom of the stairway covering the glass window of little Florence Ford's coffin. But visitors to Natchez City Cemetery still visit Florence's grave to find the rusted hinged door and the stairs that lead down to her final resting place, often covered in flowers and mementos left in memory of young Florence. And above the stairs where her mother once sat to comfort her daughter, even in death, are these words inscribed on Florence's grave. "O weep not, my parents, no longer repine, for in beauty transcendent, your daughter doth shine." The local legends of Natchez City Cemetery are so beloved that the city organizes a unique experience every November called Angels on the Bluff. Local actors portray the deceased at their grave sites. Many of the actors are descendants of the people they play in Angels on the Bluff. You can learn more about Angels on the Bluff and Natchez City Cemetery at visitnatchez.org. Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. Special thanks to Anna James of the Natchez City Cemetery for her help with research material for this episode. To see photos of the monuments and gravesites mentioned in this episode, connect on social media. You can join our Facebook discussion group to search for Southern Mysteries Podcast, and we're also on Twitter @MysteriesPod.